Is the mic on back there? Yeah, you got it now. Be turning to the book of Acts, chapter 20. We'll begin with verse 28 in just a moment. You know, it seems in today's world that we want everything to be positive and upbeat and all sunshine and no rain or snow. But what did the Apostle Paul and his fellow Christians endure in all of his travels? We found last week in Acts chapter 20, there were tears, there were trials, many things that happened through the plots of the Jews. In verse 22, Paul said, he didn't know what would happen to him when he reached Jerusalem. Of course, we know that's their destination. He didn't know what would happen except that imprisonment and afflictions were in his future, verse 23. What was the Apostle Paul's reaction to that in verse 24? Doesn't change at all. He says, but I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now let's go ahead and read verses 28 through 35. Paul said, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul says these elders are overseers. That comes from the Greek word episkopos, which can also be translated bishop. That word episkopos was translated bishop in the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 1. By the way, how do we know that an elder, an overseer, a bishop, a shepherd, a pastor, are all referring to the same thing? How do we know that? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. The book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, the first two verses. Peter said, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight," or being an overseer. Now, verse 1 there, where it says elders, is the Greek presbyteros. Shepherd, in verse 2, is the Greek word poimen, also translated pastor, as I talked about before. Overseer, that we already talked about there in verse 2, is the Greek word episkopos. Again, it's translated bishop in Philippians 1:1. The pastor is in Ephesians 4:11. So he's talking about elders in all of these, but you have all these different Greek words to explain that. We know a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Cares for the sheep. An elder, a bishop, a shepherd, overseer, they care for the sheep. So the New Testament has these three Greek words, presbyteros, episkopos, and poimen, all referring to the same function. An elder is an overseer, a bishop, a shepherd, a pastor. Here in go back to Acts 20 and verse 28, the King James there says to feed the church of God. The New King James says shepherd. The English Standard that I have says pay careful attention, or to care for there at the end of that verse, to care for the church of God. The King James, the New King James is a better translation there. Feed or shepherd the church. The verb there, feed, comes from the Greek poimeno. You know, we saw the noun, poimen. This comes from the verb form, meaning the same thing. To pastor, the shepherd. These elders, these overseers, these bishops, these shepherds, these pastors have a great responsibility in feeding the flock, in feeding the church. Pastors are not preachers, and preachers are not overseers of the church unless they are qualified and are placed in that function. If they desire that, they can serve as both a preacher and a pastor, elder, overseer, shepherd, whatever. Now, Paul warns the Ephesian bishops here of the danger of apostasy, of falling away. In verses 28 through 31, the elders were to pay careful attention to themselves and to the church. To the church that Christ purchased with his own blood. How could anybody not see the vital importance of the church when it was bought with the blood of Christ? How could anybody think that someone is too picky when they want things to operate just as the Bible says? The church of Christ is of vital importance because the blood that Christ shed is of vital importance. And of course, how we get into that blood through baptism is of vital importance. And how we live our lives after that point, as Steve pointed out in his devotional. These are warnings. These are warnings, just like Steve talked about. We find in these verses that a time of apostasy would eventually come. Even originating from where? From the leadership. Now, from what I found, historically, the earliest departure from the faith were in bishops exalting themselves above what they called elders. But a bishop and an elder are the same thing. And we see that today, don't we, in a certain denomination. You have bishops that are higher than elders and so forth and so on. In verse 31, Paul said, "Therefore, be alert." And he reminded them of his example over the past 3 years of passionate teaching. These things should also remind us that we should teach and admonish one another. And we shouldn't get too upset if someone points something out to us from Scripture that we need to work on. In verses 32 through 35, Paul commends these elders to God and to the word of his grace, to the word through which grace is accessed, Romans 5 and verse 2. And Paul encourages them to continue in the faith so that they might continue to grow stronger and ultimately receive the promised inheritance as faithful children of God. What do you think Paul's referring to in verses 33 through 35? You know, there when he mentions gold and silver, and he mentions the weak, he mentions giving and receiving. Where does that come from? Why all of a sudden do you think he brings that up? That he coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Brother Mark pointed out that the Apostle Paul wasn't influenced by those kind of things. He wouldn't allow himself to be influenced by those kind of things. Anyone else have any ideas on that? You think it's possible that maybe he was falsely accused of something? You know, he said, You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. And as Brother Mark pointed out, you know, he said he coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. It's possible, I think, that maybe he was accused of something. Maybe he was accused of being more interested in himself than than others. Yes, Bobby. Right. Right. I think you're right, Bobby. It's not easy, is it? I mean, it's not easy being a Christian, but how easy could it be in all that he endured and the other disciples? Yeah, I like the translations that say it's a function rather than an office, because someone looking at an office like an officer, you know, I'm a lieutenant or a captain or whatever, and it's not, like Bobby said, it is. You're a servant. It's a responsibility, and it's a great responsibility and a hard one. True. Did you have something, Mark? Right. Right. What? All those words point out exactly just how hard it is to serve as an elder. This here at the last of verse 35, when he pointed out the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Where does that quote come from? Does anyone know? Guess what? It's not in the gospel. So where'd it come from? Exactly, exactly. Remember, as Bobby pointed out in the book of John, in John 14:26. When Jesus was telling the elders, or the apostles, excuse me, when he was telling the apostles that he was going to leave, and he was going to leave them the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he said, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Do you realize that it doesn't have to be in the gospel? It doesn't even have to be in red like mine is here. Because the Holy Spirit came. Jesus said he had to leave before the Holy Spirit could come. When the Holy Spirit came, he taught them all things that Christ had said. He brought to their remembrance all things that Christ had ever said. And these writers of the New Testament, when they were writing whatever it was, That was the same as Jesus talking. Let's read the last three verses of chapter 20. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship. Of course, we know, you know, back in verse 23, I believe it was. Was it 23 or 22? Oh, no, it was verse 25. At the end of that. You among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom, that none of you among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Now, they must have been pretty close, right? Which I can see that. Can't you picture this? I mean, the Ephesian elders are saying their goodbyes to the Apostle Paul. Through tears. Even though they really knew that, at least in the eternal sense, they knew that it was just a temporary goodbye. What did the Apostle Paul just finish telling them before he prayed with them and he was telling them to be careful, right? Not only for themselves, but for the Lord's church. For all the flock of which they were overseers. And he said, therefore, be alert. Remembering that for 3 years, I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. These elders knew how much Paul loved the church and how much he loved them personally. And they were sad because he had said they would not see his face again. And it says they accompanied him to the ship. There in verse 38, don't you think they probably stood and watched him sail away? Let's read more about this trip in chapter 21. Let's read the first six verses. As Luke says here, and when we had parted from them and set sail, we came by a straight course to Kos, and the next day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara, and having found a ship crossing to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set sail. When we had come in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we sailed to Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unload its cargo, and having sought out the disciples, we stayed there for 7 days. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we departed and went on our journey, and they all, with wives and children, accompanied us until we were outside the city, and kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship and they returned home. Luke says here they set sail, and of course we know their destination was Jerusalem. And we know that they were in Miletus because that's where he'd called the Ephesian elders to come. So they left Miletus and came to Kos, and they sailed down the coast. If you look at a map that you may have in the back of your Bibles, Kos would be down at near the bottom of the coastline where it curves around to go east. This would be the coast of Asia Minor. And the next day it said they went to a small island called Rhodes. And then around the horn, you might say, to Patara, and said they found a ship going all the way to Phoenicia in Syria, which is just north of Israel. But that would be probably all the way across the water and not even stopping at Cyprus. It said, was it Cyprus that they went to the left, it says, of the island of Cyprus. So it'd probably be 400 to 450 miles, wouldn't it, that they're sailing? I use the scale on my map in the back. I don't know how correct that is. But that's, across the Mediterranean Sea. Quite a trek. And said they came to shore at Tyre, which, if you've got a map, would be just at the bottom edge of Syria. And then Israel would meet up with that on the coastline there. Said they stayed 1 week with the disciples. They stayed with these disciples there at Tyre, where they were telling Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. Why do you think they were telling him not to go on to Jerusalem? They knew through the Holy Spirit what was going to happen. I mean, go over to, we haven't read those verses, but go on over in chapter 21 to verses, say, 10 through 14. Let's read those. It gives you a better idea. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Excuse me. "And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, 'Let the will of the Lord be done.'" He'd already known, again, from back in chapter 20, that he would be put in prison. I think this makes what Brother Steve said in his devotional very pertinent. And you referenced Romans chapter 8. Let's go read Let's go over to the next book, Romans chapter 8. Let's start at verse 31 of Romans chapter 8 and read through verse 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who is to condemn. Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see why Paul used himself as an example, don't you? He knew that these Ephesian elders, what they were going to face. And he didn't know for sure that he would be killed, but he thought it pretty probable, didn't he? He knew that the elders, and he knew that eventually, all the apostles would be gone. The elders in each congregation of the Lord's church would have this responsibility. That's why it was so important for what he was doing there in Acts 20 and 21 in showing these elders. You know, no one likes to think that it would ever come to the point that an elder or an eldership would have to die for the cause of the church or anyone. But it could happen, you know, just as with the apostles and so forth. It's probably almost unbelievable to us to picture what happened to the apostles and the elders of those early congregations. But this is the perfect example. Let's, Brother Jerry will be back. Next week we have the gospel meeting. So Jerry, the following Wednesday, I guess, he will take up, I guess, in Acts 21. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Our most righteous Father in heaven, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for the Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit guides through these words that we've studied, these words through the entire Bible. We're thankful for that. We thank you, Father, that you give us these good examples. We thank you for the understanding that you enable us to have. We thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.